Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's amazing how this is Valentine's Sunday and how God just plans things out for one of the greatest love hymns, one of the greatest love verses and passages in all the Scripture. I've heard somebody say that the book of Romans is the Himalayas of all Scripture. If that's the fact, then Romans chapter 8 is Mount Everest. Great, great chapter. And as we finish it up today, I hope that as we've studied and learned about our security in Christ and how our eternal security does not rest on us but rests on Him, and that we can find our place of solace in the promises of God's Word and not have to be worried about these things, this and that, but knowing that God has it all together. And as we finish up, I want us to think about, psychology tells us that a person is not a well-rounded individual until he is loved by someone. You believe that? Until he's loved. They're not well-rounded until they're loved by someone. And today, a lot of your self-help, a lot of the Freudianism that's been really has been condensed down is you got to love yourself. You've heard that, right? Many times you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. I want you to see today that the Scripture tells us that there's a love that supersedes all other love, and that's the love of God. And I want to contend to you that you can never love until you understand the love of God in Christ for you. You can never truly love. The many in the world of the world's problems stem from the fact that people are starved for love. Our scripture, our Sunday school lesson today, which was about Samson, and it was talking about how he was a strong man with a weak mind, and how Delilah, she used him, she pulled out the love card. You don't love me. Sandy, bless her heart. She's heard that many times. Listen, to be honest with you, she has. I use that. You know, here's the deal. All I'm wanting is to get petted like a youngin'. That's it. Let's just be honest. I can be honest. You'll be honest, Pastor. I'm not going to pretend to be anything I'm not. All I'm wanting is petted. You know what I'll tell her? And hey, you know, here's what I say. I'm up for it again this year. I'm up for it. 7-time Unloved Husband Award World Champion. That's me. Just pick it. She loves me. I tell you, we're going working on 30 years, I think, but right? I think she pretty well loves me, has to put up with me. But I've always struggled with feeling love, to be honest with you, as far as before I came to know Christ. I struggle with that. And you might be one of those people that feel that way too. And so I want you to know that that can be a common thing in human beings that the devil and Satan can use against you also in your walk with Christ. But I want you to see this morning, I want you to see through the Scripture and through the reading of God's Word, you don't ever have to question, if you're a child of God, whether you are loved or not. In fact, there's an everlasting love that we'll see come through our Scripture, that nothing will separate you from that everlasting love. And so I want us to think about that this morning. And the Bible will go a step further in saying you don't need to be loved by somebody to be complete, but it'll say that no person can be complete without the reality of God's love in their life. Without that reality. And so I want us to, let's stand to our feet to reverence God's Word. Stand to our feet, and the title is God's Valentine to Us. What an appropriate title for this Sunday. And then I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. The Word of God says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That was our memory verse for last month. If you remember, we'll talk about that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? 33. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I pray for just for a short while that you will reveal yourself. Thank you for these great words that you've given us. Thank you for this ultimate Valentine that's been given to us through this scripture this morning. I pray if somebody maybe is struggling to understand the love of God through Christ, that today will be the day that their heart is open to see that great love. And I pray most of all that Christ will be glorified through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this great Valentine message today, about the Valentine to you. And I want us to think about, and we sang about his love this morning. How great is our God, how great is his love. And for a few moments, I want you just then feel the embrace of your God this morning through his word. And I want you to hear him say, I love you. And so I want us to think about this Valentine. Does God's Valentine. First, I want you to see in verse 31, he is on our side. Look what the word says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? These things that he's speaking about was last week when we went through 28 through 30, and he was talking about knowing that all the things that come into our life work together for good, that God will take that good and he has a purpose and a plan. And we saw that in verses 29 and 30, that purpose and that plan was the salvation of his children. That he had a plan in eternity past. He had a foreknowledge and he called an election and went all the way through to glorification, and that he would finish what he had started, and we can rest in that security, not realizing that we will never lose that which he's given us through Christ Jesus. And so he says, thinking back, he makes a statement, these things, what shall we say to these things? And he goes on and he puts it, he kind of condenses it down and he says, hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Paul, he's based on this purpose and this plan, Paul's saying, if God be for us, and that word's not a question, it really is better translated since, or because God is for us, who can be against us? He'll ask five questions within our Valentine this morning. Five questions that he'll ask us. And that's a question I want to give to you. Since or because God is for you today, who can be against you? He wants us to think about these questions. And there's many questions that will come into our lives as we go out through the week and through the work week. These are good questions to remind us. Romans chapter 8, these last scriptures, are good questions that when we come against, listen, we'll all ride out the storms of life. We'll find hardships. We'll find relationships that disappoint. We'll find all these things that'll let us down. But Paul's wanting us to know this morning, through the Valentine, through the promise of God's word, God is for you. No, nobody can be against you. Listen, let me tell you, that's shouting ground. We wouldn't even have to go any farther than that. But whoa, we just keep getting better and better, all right? Gooder and gooder, okay? Think about it as we go on into this. So Paul doesn't say what can be against us, but he says who can be against us. And he's looking at the conflicts and trials from people of the world. Do you realize you live in a lost and a fallen world? And you're constantly, and when we're out in the workforce, when we're at school, wherever we find ourselves, we're constantly in contact with people of the world. And I want to tell you, God allowed me to be in a manufacturing job for 21 years. I was a CNC machinist, praise God. I was an ordained grinder operator. Now, I didn't get saved until about 10 years of that. But God allowed me to see that in my work and what I did, and he allowed me to see it, that that was my ministry that he gave me. And I had a whole crew of guys, they'd get so mad at me and say, oh, and Dana was a corporation. You're a corporation man. All you care is about pleasing Dana. I said, I work for somebody higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get this production done, we're doing it unto Him. And boys, we'll take it easy until then. But until then, we're going to keep on working. Going to keep on working. I've been a working man all my life. Going to keep on working. I'd sing it to them. Boy, they didn't like it either. But if you do it unto the Lord, see, it wasn't that I was a corporate man. I wasn't kissing up to the corporation. That's what he said. I was loving on my Lord Jesus because that helps what he had called me to do. When we get that, when we all get that, it makes life a lot more purposeful. Whether you work on a line, assembly line, whether you drive a truck, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, you do it unto the Lord. Everything that we do unto Him, it makes life and brings us so much purpose. And so he says these questions. He says, what? Not who? And he's talking about the people of the world. The people that we rub up against. We get so, we can't believe that they act that way. They're lost. That's how they're supposed to act. When you should get upset is when people of God's house is acting like the world. That's when we should get real upset. But the people of the world are lost. They don't have a standard. What is their standard? They are. Whatever they want to do, whatever feels good, whatever feels right. And so they're going to see sin will come forth, and so we shouldn't get so flabbergasted over people that act like sinners because people of the world live in sin. They don't have the standard. What about our life, though, when we do understand the standards? I want one of the greatest problems, I don't know about you, is not just so many as people out in the world, but one of my greatest problems is me. My flesh. And that's another who. Even my old flesh can't overcome the Spirit of God that dwells in me. Let me tell you what, that won't make you say amen. Something's wrong. The Spirit of God will overcome my own flesh and my weaknesses, as Donnie talked about. Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows how to trip us up. And yet the Spirit of God overcomes that. Who can be against us? And then the devil. You know, it's Satan's job to kill, steal, and destroy. You know what he wants to do? He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill your family. He wants to separate everything of God from your life. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's Satan's job. Aren't you glad there's one that stands between you and Satan? He can't touch you because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied, and that if something comes into our life, it's came through the sieves of the loving Father's hands. Listen. That's a love story this morning. That's a Valentine when he says, nothing can come against us. This promise is only for the children of God, by the way. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus, this is not a promise for you. But it can be. Why? Because he wants you to know that love today. If you struggle with love, if you struggle with understanding the love of God through Christ, all it is opening up your heart and saying, I need that. Lord, forgive me. I receive that. Listen, it'll change your life. It could change a redneck. I'm still a redneck, by the way. I'm just your pastor, okay? That's all right. Well, I'm a hillbilly now. It's elevation. Difference between a redneck and a hillbilly is elevation. I'm a hillbilly now, okay? But I'm not going to try to be something I'm not, okay? God, He made me who I am today. That doesn't mean, but He also infused Christ into my soul. And I'm saved to the uttermost. And nothing can come against me. God be for us. Who can be against us? So I want us to think about this today. God's on our side. We are His children. So the problem is not, is God for us? That's not the problem, or does God love us? The problem is, are you for God? Do you love God? Because we see through His Word that He loves us. Nothing can come between a believer and his God because God is omnipotent. He is on our side. That's the first of our love, our lines in our Valentine. The second is, He gave His all for us. Look at verse 32. This was our memory verse last week, or last month, and I love this when we can see this and we can see the context of these memory verses that we spout out every month. Look what it says. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How much did God love you? This much. This much. He gave His Son. I want you to understand this morning, if you're one of those people, and that's okay if you're struggling with, what about these other religions? What about these good people that believe this way? What if, and you'll have all these what if questions, and I'm going to tell you, the more than the deeper you go into our secular universities and our secular schooling and education, the more these questions will arise, I promise you. It will. Why? Because they teach secular humanism, which is a religion of its own, by the way. So you say, what about that? Listen, if there was another way beside the cross, God would have took it. But He did not. There's only one way to God. That's through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. He had to give His very best. His only Son, He gave it for us. How can we be sure that God will supply all our needs? Paul points us to the cross. You want to question, you're struggling, and I prayed this morning with something that maybe financially, and we think, how can God meet this need? Look at the cross. Look what He's done, and you're His child. How can we say in His Scripture, saying He delivered it up, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Take care of our needs, not your wanter. There's a big difference there, needs and wanters. Our problem is our wanter gets hung up, and we get that mixed up with our needs. But as His child, David made this statement all the way back in Psalm. He says, I once was young, and now I'm old. We can, some of us can relate to that. Time goes by so fast. But he said one thing is this. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Now think of that statement. That's back in the Old Testament before Christ came. And so he's letting us know, listen, the cost is the guaranteed of the continuing unfailing generosity of God in our life if we're his child. If he's willing to pay that price to get you in, is he not going to pay the price to keep you in? You have security in Christ. Lee, it'd be like Bill Gates coming up. Say, here, Lee, come to my house. You go to Bill's house and he says, I got this $1 billion I'm going to give you. Look, be a stack. It's probably bigger than that, right? I'm going to give you this, Lee, $1 billion. And then you know what you do? You ask him for a paper poke or paper bag to carry it home. He says, no, I ain't going to give you that. Is that not what it's saying right here? God spared something. He gave you more than any $1 billion, anything. It was the most priceless gift. And do you not think he's going to take care of us as his children? He'll take care of you. He'll meet your needs. He's right there with you. Satan wants you to question Christ. He wants you to question his goodness to you. But the Scripture tells us that he's given us his all. He's on our side. He's gave us his all. And the next, he intercedes for us. Now, please don't miss this. Woo! Johnny, you mentioned this in your prayer this morning in prayer room, which, by the way, we have a great prayer room, 9:30. Man, you're missing out. We get there together and we pray for one another and the needs. And Johnny mentioned this about Christ being our intercession this morning in his prayer. And look what it says. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 33. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore has also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We have somebody that's on our side. We have God that gave his all. And then we have Christ that intercedes. He intercedes for us. Listen, when charges are brought against us, you realize Satan, that's what Satan means, an accuser. We see it many times in Scripture that he's the accuser of the brethren. In fact, he wears it out going back and forth saying, can you believe that, Dave, down there? That's your minister, your preacher. Can you believe he did this or thought that or whatever? He does that for all of us, by the way. Have you ever noticed that not just Satan, but there's a lot of people, again, if you're out in the workforce, if you're out in the world, it never fails. Your testimony can be consistent for years, and you can blow it in just a matter of few seconds, and it never fails. Somebody will be right there and say, I always say, citizens arrest, like Barney Fife. Never fails. Somebody's right there to point and accuse. And you call yourself a Christian? I'm so glad when God closes the case. I'm so glad whenever He says it's over. He says, hey, you're saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not this evidence that's lagging out there somewhere like OJ, right? They just keep bringing it up. Oh, we found some more evidence. He doesn't do that in our life. It's a closed case, okay? When he's finished and the blood of Christ is applied, then it's the final, the judgment's final, and it's over. Your sin has been judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. His blood paid the payment for your sin. Closed. Closed. Paul asked two questions. It's kind of like in a courtroom setting. If God, the righteous judge, has declared each one of his children righteous based on the death of Christ, who can bring a charge against them? To bring a charge against the child of God or the children of God is to charge God himself. Think about that. For God has completely and totally cleared us. In fact, you are in Christ, is what the Scripture says now. For you to charge, or for somebody to bring a charge against you, is bringing a charge against Christ. Listen, there's freedom there. There's not a license to do whatever you want to. There's a freedom to live under that freedom of Christ. Right? Knowing you're never condemned. Knowing that you don't have to earn God's love. Do you understand? You don't have to work and earn God's love. I don't have to do more for him to love me, or, oh, he don't love me, I failed him this week and all this. He loves you completely, through and through. You don't have to earn it. In Christ, you have it all completely. In this world, we're accused and condemned by our enemies and sometimes even ourselves, our own consciousness. But listen, his children will be, they're justified and they'll never be condemned. Why? I want you to see this, verse 34. Why? It's because Christ died for him, number one. Christ died for you. You'll never stand condemned. Number two, look at answers in 34. Christ was resurrected and the Christian shares in his resurrection. He didn't just die. He was put in a tomb, but he came back to life again on the third day. And his resurrection power is that which he's applied to our own life. That one of these days when these eyes close or the heavens open, he comes to get me, I'm going to be with him. Number three, Christ is at the Father's right hand and in the place of power to protect his children. We have an advocate. Listen, an advocate by the throne. When Satan accuses, you know what he does? He stands. See the nail print hand. I started to put a black marker dot there. See the nail print hand. He's one of mine. Covered. He's covered by the blood. That's an advocate, man. Fourthly, Christ is praying for us that we shall not falter as Christians in our walk with him. He makes intercessions. We learned in Romans, this very scripture, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and it groans. And even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. And then we have an advocate beside the Father in heaven, that's Jesus Christ. And he takes our prayers and presents them before the Father. Listen, that right there. Woo, listen, you want me to get excited? Somebody needs to get excited. Listen, that's good stuff. One that's our advocate that we have stands in the gap for us. And this Christ, our security. Our security, listen, come on. Let me give you a good hillbilly illustration. Okay? You remember when you was little? Young, I do. I know it's been a long time. But I remember when I was little and you'd be going somewhere in the car, right? And back then, we didn't have car seats and all this stuff, okay? You'd ride up in the front seat with your arm around Daddy's neck, right? Woo-hoo, we could get thrown right through the windshield. Nobody cared. No seat belts, all that stuff, right? They didn't. This is how old I am. I'm dating myself. But listen, if you'd be going on a road trip, Mom and Dad would be up there in the front driving. You just lay down in the back seat and take you a nap. Why? You didn't have any worries because Mom and Dad was taking care of everything. Oh, my friend, you got one more, even better than Mom and Dad. You have Christ at the right hand of the Father, and you can lay down in the midst of storms of life and knowing that he's got this. He's got it, and we can rest and have peace in him. Christ stands there, nail-pierced hand. One of these days you're going to see those nail-pierced hands. Pierced hands and say, hey, he's mine. He's mine. I can't wait one day to give him just a, I'll be hugging him around the knees. Because how can you ever stand before one so great, gave such a price, paid it to make us children of God, to give us hope. Look, we're gathered here on Sunday morning. Why? Why? Because we're worshiping. We have hope beyond this life. We have a Redeemer that's redeemed us, that gives us hope. We live in a world, listen, I heard about another friend of ours that a young boy, tried to attempt to take his life this week. Why are kids taking their life? They don't see the hope. If you don't have hope, if this world, and you really just look at the news and everything they pump and the agendas and all that, we get very discouraged, don't we? We think there's no reason. What's the purpose? There's a purpose because there's a God that loves us. And He gave us a purpose and a plan, and He puts us on the right path. And yes, sometimes I stray, and He whoops me back on, praise God. But then when I realize, you know what? I can't lose. Victory in Jesus. Some of these old hymns that we sing, we have victory in Him. We are under the blood of Christ. And protected. He loves us. Lastly, I want you to see, He loves us with an everlasting love. Look what He says in Romans 8:35-39 as we finish up. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, that's a mouthful. What a way to end this great chapter. And he's letting us know. You know what he does? He goes all autobiographical on us. That's what he's doing. Why is that? Paul had experienced all these things. Think about his life. And you can read in Corinthians how he had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked, beaten with rods, flogged. He had been out, spent night and day out in the deep, out in the ocean. He bore in his body the marks of standing for Jesus Christ. And so he could say this, for your sake. Hey, he could say, not tribulation, nor distress, nor persecution, nor famine, nor nakedness. You know what he's saying? And he talks about Philippians chapter 4. And he says, I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to be abound. I know what it is to have plenty and to have lack. He said, I know what it is to be hungry. We don't really know what that is in America. To be hungry. He said, but I also know what it is to be full. He said, I've been through it all. And you know what I found? God was taking care of me through everything. And His love was present in my life. And so he's listing out. He knew Him personally. And then he quotes Psalm 44 there in verse 36 when it says, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Psalm 44 is all about the oppression of God's people. It's all about them going through these great times of stress, and they're under attack, and they're crying out to God. He said, and to the point that they felt like, we're all like sheep just headed for the slaughterhouse. We all know what that is to take animals. If you raise any cattle or things, to take them to the slaughterhouse, they're not there in the back chewing their hoofs, worrying about where they're going. They don't have a clue. They'll just march right into the slaughterhouse. Or you might have to prod them a little bit and get them out from eating the hay out of the thing you put in the back to get them there. They have a clue. They don't have a clue. And he's saying, that's what we're like. You know what he's saying? And what we can draw strength from, this is Old Testament, that persecution and hardship has been something that God's people has had to endure in the past. Well, in the past, we'll have to do it in the present. Hardship and affliction is part of it. It's part of it. Living for God. You live for Christ in this world, and you're going to face hardship and persecution. You're going to get made fun of. Now, when you're not living for Him, it don't make no difference. They don't know no difference. They just think, a lot of you, here's the deal, a lot of us, oh, they just think He's a good person. Why don't you tell them why you're good? There's no goodness in us except Jesus Christ. Point them towards Christ. I want you to know something. These are words that He's he's speaking to the Roman Christians. He's speaking this to the Romans, and he quotes Psalm 44. You say, why would he do that? These very Christians, these very believers that he's writing to, in just a matter of a few short years, Nero would dip them in pitch, put them on stakes, and light them afire to light his courtyard. These Christians that he's writing to. I guarantee it became real for them then. I don't know about you, but being dipped in pitch, put on a stake, and lit on fire. And a lot of them sang the praises of God as they was burning. How? They understood that God loved them. And that it wasn't that God was saying, oh, I'm going to put you in this little box and you're protected. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. He wasn't promising them that, immunity. But he was promising them security through it. Because when you take that last breath and you stand before your Savior, I promise you it'd be worth any price that you had to give. And that's how, when this became so real to them, the persecution was just getting ready to start. Physical adversities cannot stop the love of God. He promises to see us through those. Yet, he makes this comment in 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That word means super conquerors. God gives us the grace to stand in times of persecution, whether it's mental or social or physical. And we're more than conquerors. Listen, they're not any overtime games. They're not any tie-ups. It's victory in Jesus. We don't have to fear or worry about losing. It's victory in Him. And then Paul next, listen, he gets real personable and real personal as he's finishing up this love letter, this great Valentine to us. And listen what he said. For I'm persuaded. Those are big words that you can just pass over. Are you persuaded? That really, that is the key to whether you live this out or not. Are you persuaded that what, Paul? That we understand that the mind of God and the plan of God, that God loves us no matter what we're facing. And that we experience the reality of this truth in our own lives. What truth are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. Listen, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus through Christ our Lord. Nothing can shake a Christian from his salvation or separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Paul covers the whole gamut of spheres in our life. Nothing. The world that I live in, Paul says, no. Can Satan and his angels, these demons that are around, can he? No. Can anything separate height or depth, time and space that we live in? It's just a matter of time. One out of one of us here will die. Death. Are we prepared to live? We think of this as the land of the living. But there's an eternity that goes on. It's not combined, it's not hampered by time and space. Outside of that box, there's an eternity that awaits for every person. Whether in a place of God's supreme love in heaven or a place of His rejection and wrath in a place called hell. Scripture tells us that. I want you to look how Romans 8 began. You remember that's been a while back, but it begins with no condemnation. Romans 8 does. And it ends with no separation. That's the total package, my friend. Never be condemned as you stand before God, and nothing will ever separate Him from you. Live in those parameters. Live in great love for Him. Live in great love for each other within those parameters. No condemnation, no separation. The greatest Valentine was written to you and to me, and it was God saying, I love you in Christ Jesus. How much is that love, God? This much. Let's stand on our feet. I want you to think about some applications. Listen, Do you understand that you don't have to earn God's love this morning? Do you understand that? You don't have to earn His love. He loves you completely in Christ. How will the gospel impact your life daily? You say, well, the gospel, now I got saved. Listen, it should impact you daily. Why? Because if God was willing to give His best, Christ died for you, will you not live for Him? Daily! Number three, the question is not, does He love me, but do I love Him? As Linda plays softly, I want us to shut our eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about the love of God for you in Christ. Feel His arms wrap around you. But first, I want you to go to the cross of Calvary. I want you to think about the price that He paid for each and every one of you. He loved you that much that He was willing to die for you. Took the nails, took the beating, died and was buried. But on the third day, see Him come out of that grave in victory for you. For this moment, if you don't know Him, for this moment in time, that you could say, you know what? I want to receive that love. I want to know the love of Christ and our God in Christ Jesus. I want to know Him. If you know that love, when was the last time you just said, you know what? I love You, God. I love You. I want to tell You this morning, right now in your silence, just You and God. Don't worry about anybody else, nobody moving around, walking around. You and God. Have you tell Him that you love Him? When's the last time you said, I love You? I love You. Tell Him you love Him this morning. Maybe you're carrying a heavy load. Maybe you're tossed to and fro, and this message was for you this morning. Just like, you know what? God's wanting to reach down and say, I've got this. I see you. I know you're going through this. I just want you to know, I love you. Whatever God has spoken to you and however He's spoken to you this morning, as Linda plays, I want you to, if you want to show God complete obedience, just move out and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to come forward, lay it all down. Come and receive Christ as your Savior this morning. What a great, that's going back, you know what you're saying? I love You. That's what He wants in return. Eyes are closed, this would be a great time. Heads are bowed. Anybody need for Christ this morning? He waiting for you, arms wide. What about you just to say, hey, you know what? I just want to come forward and lay something down that I've been carrying this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What about you? You want to come forward and just say, you know what? I need to lay this down once and for all. Maybe you just like to come and say, you know what? I love You, Lord. I don't tell you enough. I just want to tell You, Lord. I love You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You want to make that move before the Lord this morning to say, hey, you know what? I just want to tell You I love You. There you go, Ben. Just telling you love Him this morning. We don't say that a lot, do we? We feel out of place. Satan wants you to feel that way. Just say, you know what? I love You, God. It never fails, it seems like, when I tell Him that. I always say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I don't always show it. And you know what He says? Done. You don't have to do, Dave. It's done. Thank You for loving me in Christ Jesus. We'll give you a few more minutes. What a Valentine message to us today. I love you. That's what God's saying this morning. Give these at the altar just another minute. Amen. Listen, tonight, 5:30, Valentine's Banquet. You don't miss it. It's a great time. Come back out. You don't even have to have your honey, do you? You can just come by yourself if you want to. Right? We'll love you. Everybody's your honey tonight, right? Well, okay. You know what I'm saying, in a godly way. In a godly way, okay? But listen, come back out, 5:30. If if you don't have Christ and you need to talk to me, I'll meet you anytime. I want you to know the love of Christ. I do. That's my main thing. That's the reason I'm here. I love you, each and every one of you. And I want you to know that relationship in Him. And so any way that I can help you, I'm here anytime. Just let me know. I love you guys. Lee? Students, be here at 3 o'clock, Lee says. Lee closes in prayer.